You will open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 23. We'll begin reading shortly at verse 32. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. An account of the crucifixion of our Lord. The portion of the verses leading up to this part tells about Christ being before Herod and before Pilate, and now they lead him to the cross. And verse 32 says, "And there were also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and they cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors who was hanged, railed at him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I hope that can be said of all of us eventually. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Let's kneel together for prayer.
I want to greet each of you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I've been doubly blessed already this morning. You know, when we meet over here as ministers, one of the brethren will pray for the one who's bringing the message. Brother Merle prayed this morning, and thank you, Brother Harold. Sure appreciate you and Sister Priscilla being here. Quite often I'll speak expository, which means verse by verse, but this morning I feel led differently, and the subject, it's more of a topic this morning, and it's the subject of the fear of the Lord. Some Scottish soldiers were cut off from their company while in fierce battle with the enemy in World War II. They hid in the loft of an empty house. Death seemed inevitable. Germans were setting fire to buildings, and they kept getting closer to this hiding place of these Scottish soldiers. One Scottish soldier said, It's time for church. Partners, let's have a wee bit of service here. It may be our last. He took a New Testament from his pocket, and he read some verses, and then he said, We ought to finish with prayer. After a pause, he began reverently, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. About midway through that prayer, Those hiding Scottish soldiers who were worshiping heard a click of heels. They knew the Germans were below and that they were standing reverently at attention. After the prayer was over, the Scottish soldiers heard the door close and the sound of footsteps dying away. Strong reverence for things sacred created an atmosphere in which hatred disappeared. Told by Waterby Knight, I believe a critical ingredient in the life of the Christian and the church is sadly missing in an alarming number of cases in this late age in which we live. And I'm talking about the fear of the Lord. Reverence for our holy God and reverence and respect for things sacred. Too many Christians and church members are living too casually and carefree, flirting with the world and sin, speaking flippantly of the man upstairs. You hear that statement sometimes, and I always cringe when I hear it. A laid-back approach to worship is the norm today in churches. Dress more appropriately for a rodeo than for worshiping God Almighty. When the fear of God is missing, when a reverential awe for God and His Word is missing, submission to God and obedience to God and His law is also missing. This morning, my friend, they go hand in hand. Reverential awe, respect, and honor for an almighty God goes hand in hand with submitting to Him and obeying His every command. The power and blessing of God is also missing, and Christians give up and churches struggle to keep their doors open. This morning we want to lift up the Word of God and lift out some examples from Scripture of the fear of the Lord. Number one this morning, I want to take us back to Genesis chapter 6 concerning Noah and the building of the ark. Genesis 6 tells us that the wickedness of mankind became so bad and so great that God decided it was time for judgment. It was time for Him to do something radical. In Genesis chapter 6, I'll read verses 13 and 14. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms that shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And then verse 17. And behold, I like that, and I think that's very significant. I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. God asked Noah to do something that no other person had ever been asked to do. And it was going to sound ridiculous and far-fetched to the community, to Noah's neighbors. And boy, this was going to be one for them to really laugh on and really to mock on. And I believe Noah, he realized this. He would have known that. If Noah does what God asked him to do here in Genesis chapter 6, he is going to be a laughingstock. He's going to preach righteousness. He's going to preach the coming judgment, and it's going to be ignored. Never asked before, but now God asked this man Noah to build an ark. The neighbors must have said, well, do you think it'll even float? Where are you going to get enough water to float it? And I'm sure the mockery and the jesting went on and on. What I find significant in Genesis chapter 6 is that Noah, we find no arguments in the Holy Writ here about Noah responding to God about this order and this command to build an ark. You find no argument from Noah. You find no hesitation. In fact, what you do find is in verse 22. Thus did Noah. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Thus did, put your name in there if you can. I should put my name in there if I can. Thus did brother, thus did sister, according to all that God commanded you and commanded me. Thus did Noah. Can it be said of us that we did all that he commanded us, all that he laid right before us in his word? What about the church? Can the church say, thus did Pleasant Hill, according to all that God commanded of her to do? I think an important question this morning is, what motivated Noah to go from receiving the command to carrying that command out? Honestly, it was a pretty far out command. It had never been anything like this given before. Noah, I want you to build an ark. What motivated Noah to completely obey? And for that, I believe we find a straight answer in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. You know that's the faith chapter. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. There it is. Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I believe the motivating factor in Noah's life, that he would not be as so many church members and so many times people hear but they don't do. The motivating factor was the fear of the Lord. It moved him to the building of an ark, to the saving of his house, to carrying out God's plan to keep a remnant alive of man that he had created. Moved with fear, Noah was moved with reverence. You go back and look at the original word, you find reverence as part of the description. Noah feared the Lord. He so reverenced God, and that translated into total submission and into total obedience. And I want us to take note that as we bring up examples from God's word, every time you have this connection, a sure connection between the reverence for God, the fear of the Lord, and submission to his will and obedience to his every command. You find that connection every time, and you find it here in the life of Noah. He was moved with fear. He had to fear the Lord. He had reverence for Almighty God. So great was that fear of the Lord in his life that he did not hesitate, but he simply submitted immediately to this command of God to build something that no one was ever asked to build. Noah had faith. I know that's the faith chapter there in Hebrews 11, and by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He had faith, but Noah also had the fear of the Lord. I want to lift, along with this point, I want to lift out a scripture in Psalm chapter 25, verses 12 to 14. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Here in verse 12, what man is he? He's a teachable man. The man who has learned to fear the Lord is teachable. He's able to receive instruction as Noah received instruction on how to build this ark. First of all, he received instruction and command to build it, and God told him how to build it. And Noah was a man who feared the Lord, and according to Psalm 25 here, he was a teachable man. And he was able to receive these instructions and build it exactly the way God asked him to build it. He was one who knew how to listen and receive instruction and follow instructions. This was Noah there in Genesis chapter 6. In verse 13 here in Psalm 25 that I just read, his soul shall dwell at ease. This person relaxes in God's will, is at peace, is at ease, because their conscience is clear before God and man, doing the will of the Lord and obeying him. Verse 14 there, it talks about the secret of the Lord. God told Noah about his plans for mankind and for judgment, and he told nobody else. God told the man that he could trust. God told the man that had his heart within him. God told Noah his secret. And the Bible says there in Psalm 25, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And you see the same thing in Abraham's life in chapter 22. You know, God told Abraham the secret, you know, his plans for Sodom and Gomorrah, another plan for judgment. God revealed to a man who feared him. And so we've looked at the example of Noah, a man who was moved with fear to the building of an ark, to obeying the very clear, precise commands of a holy God. Number two this morning, a second example from Scripture concerning the fear of the Lord is Abraham. And for that we go to Genesis chapter 22. And here God commands Abraham. I might have gave you a wrong reference there earlier about Sodom. I apologize for that. But here we want Genesis chapter 22. Somewhere in Genesis, God did share his secret with this man, Abraham, that feared the Lord about judgment on Sodom. But now in Genesis chapter 22, God gives some very unusual instructions and command to his man, Abraham. He tells him to take his only son. He was a son of promise, and he was the only son that Abraham had. And he was this son of promise. He tells him to take him and go up into a mount and there offer an offering, a burnt offering to God. And this son Isaac, would be that burnt offering. And so Abraham is commanded to sacrifice, to offer his son Isaac. Verses 10 to 12 in that chapter, I want to read Genesis chapter 22, verses 10 to 12. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife. Forth, he took the knife and to slay his son. Picture that in your mind this morning. Abraham stretches forth his hand. He takes the knife and he raises it over top his son to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. I'm here. I'm obeying you. I fear you, Lord. And verse 12 says, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now I know. Now I know that you fear me. Abraham, this was a test. You were on trial. Don't slay your son. He stopped him because God had seen enough. He saw a man who feared him. He saw a man who worshiped him and reverenced him for who he was. Praise God, Abraham passed the test. Abraham's love for God proved greater than his love for his son Isaac. And proven was that the fear of God resided deep within the heart of Abraham. And that fear of God that resided deep in the heart of Abraham for Almighty God translated into submission to God and to obedience. Do you question that a certain command of God is too difficult to follow? Try the one Abraham got and see if yours isn't easier. As with Noah, we see the fear of the Lord in Abraham's life resulting in total submission and complete obedience. There is a challenge in all this that we as Christians must be willing to accept. The best evidence that we have the fear of the Lord in our hearts for our God and that we love God with all our heart is our willingness to part with that which is dearest to us in order to serve and obey God. That is the test that Abraham passed. Life circumstances and tragedies make some people bitter. God forbid that we would allow the enemy to take us in that road. I realize that some of you sitting here this morning have gone through very, very difficult times, times of sorrow. But the best evidence that we have the fear of God and that we love God with all our heart is our willingness to part with that which is dearest to us in order to serve and to obey God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, according to Proverbs 1:7. And again in chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A third example this morning of the fear of the Lord from Scripture might surprise you, I'm not sure. Jesus Christ and His Heavenly Father's plan to redeem sinful mankind. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Who in the days of his flesh, this is referring to Jesus Christ, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Once more, you can't separate the fact of those that fear the Lord, they obey. Verses 7 and 8 there, you have fear and you have obedience. And now we're talking about our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our high priest, was asked by God the Father to offer himself a sacrifice for sins of humanity. Strong crying and tears, we read there in verse 7. Heavy was the load of sin upon Jesus. Jesus never sinned. But heavy was the load because of your sin and because of mine, because of the sins of the whole world. He prayed with strong crying and tears. I'll be honest, there's too many dry-eyed prayers in my life and not enough wet ones. How about you? You know, Jesus prayed in another place, if it be possible, let this cup, this bitter cup pass from me, Lord. So tremendous was the burden of sin upon him. And Jesus understood, he understood that with that burden of sin upon him, he would have the wrath of God upon him. Because God has wrath and God has condemnation and he has judgment for sin. And Jesus understood that. And God was able to save his son from death But what would have happened to you and I if God would have saved his son from death? Jesus continues his precious prayer in that other place in Scripture in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." A man, the God-man, the Son of God, with the fear of the Lord in his heart toward his heavenly Father, a reverence for his heavenly Father, that he would submit to his will and obey his command to go to the cross. "Not my will, but thine be done." Jesus Christ had the fear of God in his heart. He had a reverential awe of his heavenly Father that resulted in total submission to his Father's will and complete obedience to his heavenly Father's very desires for his earthly life, even as Noah and Abraham feared before the Lord. Psalm 112 and verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." Do you get the connection again? The fear of the Lord. And this man who fears the Lord greatly rejoices, greatly delights in the Lord's commands. You greatly delight in the Lord's commands, you're obeying them. And so once again, we have the fear of the Lord in a man or a woman, and you have complete obedience to God's word, to God's commands. "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Happy is that man. At ease is that man, at peace, full of joy, able to rest in the Lord. Blessed, happy is that man that delighteth, who feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments." Proverbs chapter 14. Verses 26 and 27. "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." You lack confidence as the days grow more wicked and dark, and we're not sure about the amounts of persecution that might come. "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." It's not ours, it's confidence of the Lord in and through us, because we fear him. "And his children shall have a place of refuge." Verse 27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life." That sounds pretty good. That sounds like what we want. "To depart from the snares of death." You know, the fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible says. But here the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Brothers and sisters, we live in a day when even in the church of God, there's not the proper level of reverence and awe and fear of the Lord that there should be. Shame on us. We go about things pretty flippantly sometimes. Pretty laid back, pretty easygoing when we're dealing with the Almighty. I want us to think seriously about that this morning as God convicted me in study. Brother Harold read from Luke chapter 23. I want to look at that just a little bit. I don't have it as a key point. We had three there. We had Noah and we had Abraham and we had the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is actually another little one here. But in Luke chapter 23, we find here in verses 39 to 41 that Brother Harold read, "One of the malefactors, one of these criminals which were hanged on crosses on either side of Jesus, railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' This man, in the face of death and in the face of condemnation for his sins," well, you know, some go with fear of the Lord and some don't. Some get it and some don't. This man didn't get it. "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." He's mocking. But the other, answering, rebuked that one that had just mocked Jesus. This other one on the other side of Jesus just rebuked the other one. Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And you and I, you thief over there, you and I, it's our just reward. It's our due reward for our deeds. But this man between us, hath done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a difference for all eternity in the two views of these malefactors, these criminals that hung on either side of Jesus. Even in the face of death and in the face of judgment for their sins, soon they'd be going out into eternity. One still mocks and ridicules the Savior, hanging right there beside him, who has all power to save his soul. And he's going to go away into a Christless eternity in darkness and in wailing and gnashing of teeth. And yet this other one has this one opportunity left in his life to have his soul saved from the condemnation of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This man has Jesus Christ the Lord hanging beside him, dying for his sins, blood flowing out of his veins for this man's sins, and he chooses to fear him. And because of that, he gets this wonderful promise, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Those who fear the Lord have hope. But I tell you, there isn't any hope that I can offer when the fear of the Lord is not within the heart. To submit to God and to obey his word, there's no hope to offer other than repent while there's opportunity. The fear of the Lord is indeed connected to the fact that God is just and has wrath and judgment for sin. We don't like to hear that sometimes. You know, it's a gospel of love in many circles these days. God is love. God is love, and I'm so thankful for that. For God so loved you and I that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God is also a God of justice. And sin needs to be paid for. And when that atonement, when that sacrifice for sin, Jesus Christ, is not accepted with the fear of the Lord in the person's heart, they have just bypassed salvation. And their sins will have to be paid for in another terrible way. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. So what about the fear of the Lord this morning in your life? In mine? What about having that deep reverence and awe for an awesome God who is your creator, to whom you will have to answer one day? Is there hidden sin unconfessed? If there is hidden sin and unconfessed sin in your life, if you're being dishonest with your spouse, if you don't truly love your spouse, if God is not truly number one, then you're not totally submitted and you're not completely obeying, and you need desperately the fear of the Lord to come into your heart and your life. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 28 and 29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. God bless you.
Our brother did quote this, but I'd like to read it again to you from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I don't get the magazine Voice of the Martyrs, but there was a woman that was taken from her home and put in a cell, and they tried to get her to recant. And one time, the man took a cigarette and was puffing on it and had it pretty bright and touched her hand with it. And that was just one thing that they did to her. Did a lot of things. But you know what? She feared God. She didn't fear him. She feared God and held out true and faithful to him. Let's pray. Let's stand for prayer.